that the DUP are a backwater party when it comes to social issues and moral issues. But they've got support. They've got some very strong support from a Catholic priest called Father Alexandre Lucy Smith. Father Lucy Smith, good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
You are a Catholic priest. You welcome the DUP's eminent role at the heart of Westminster. You say the party shares some of the important moral values of the Catholic Church.
Yes, indeed. I don't welcome the advent of the DUP. I'm neutral with regard to the DUP. I'm not a Northern Ireland voter. I live in Surrey in England. But I certainly think that a lot of the criticism of the DUP rendered by English people is the same sort of criticism that they direct to the Catholic Church as well. So I have a natural sympathy for the DUP on this part. I'm a Catholic. I'm against abortion. And I'm also against gay marriage, so I share that with the DUP. So when people attack the DUP, I realise it's the same sort of people who would attack me.
And why are you so determined not to allow equality to gay people who want to get married?
I'm not against equality. What I'm for, I think it's always best to say what you're for, is that we should stick to the traditional definition of marriage, which is stood humanity in good stead since the dawn of time.
The discriminatory approach.
No, I don't see any need to change. I don't see any value added in bringing in gay weddings. That's why. I'm a traditionalist, and I think what has stood us in good stead for the last X thousands of years will continue to stand us in good stead.
Now, you are a doctor of moral theology. You're a consulting editor for the Catholic Herald, which is a highly respected paper that's read, obviously, by Catholic families and would form some thinking within the Catholic framework. But as one of our politicians here said not that long ago, when people within his party were against the idea of marriage equality, it was Mike Nesbitt who then led the Ulster Unionist Party, he was saying that we may be proven by history to be on the wrong side of it. We could be on the wrong side of history here. And there's been such a change recently and such an understanding of people's love for each other. No one is suggesting that the Catholic Church has to change its rules in any of this. We're simply calling for equality. The Republic of Ireland, probably a much more Catholic country than the country that you're based in, has already made that move. They've seen the light when it comes to being equal to all citizens.
Indeed, the whole supposition behind the gay marriage, move towards gay marriage, is that, you know, dawn has come and the darkness has been swept away. But I don't see the period before the advent of gay marriage as being an age of darkness. I think that what our parents and grandparents knew about marriage was valid, and I think it's still valid.
The expression of love between two gay people, two gay men or two gay women, where does the Catholic Church stand on that?
This is, I think, one of the things when we look at couples in same-sex relationships, one of the things I would say to them is, develop your friendship, love each other, develop your friendship, and develop the virtues of fraternal charity. And we are called to love each other, and each is called to love each other according to his or her own ability. But I think marriage for the procreation of children is something rather different. It's in a class of its own.
So you only believe in people having sex for the benefit of providing children to a family?
Indeed. The purpose of sexual intercourse is procreation. That is not just what I believe, it's what Christians have believed since time immemorial. But I thought we were supposed to be talking about the DUP. That's what really interests me.
Yes, but there are people here who will be surprised at how strict the Catholic Church actually is, because I know thousands of Catholics who would have no truck at all with sex only being for procreation.
That's absolutely true. We don't often live up to our high moral ideals. But, you know, sex is made for marriage and marriage is made for children. And if you go to a wedding, you know, that's one of the things that's said at the wedding, isn't it? That people get married in order to bring children into the world. And marriage is a stable union between a man and a woman for the procreation of children. And those of us who've had parents who are happily married, we give thanks to God or to whatever higher power we believe in for that great benefit we received from that.
And the DUP would be singing off your hymn sheet. Certainly,
not altogether.
Well,
one of the reasons I'd say this is the DUP are a fundamentalist Protestant party, and they would very much take the Bible as, in a very literal sense, the Catholics, the Catholic Church, of which I am, as you say, a moral theologian. The point we take is based actually on human reasoning. So, for example, our opposition to abortion is based largely on our perception of human rights. Everybody has a right to life, including the unborn child.
And you take that right through to some woman who has been raped, who's going through the trauma of rape, who doesn't have in Northern Ireland the choice to have an abortion following that trauma of rape. In the cases of fetal abnormality, you follow through on that the woman should not have the right to take the step that is necessary in her opinion at that time.
We defend life at all its stages. Everybody has a right to life. The right to life is absolute. And naturally, we want to help people who are in difficult pregnancies, and we want to give them all the support we possibly can. But putting somebody to death is never, ever the right option, as we should know in our own country. I mean, you know, in Britain and in Northern Ireland, look at the way so many people take the idea that the solution is to kill somebody. Never true.
It's interesting how you describe it, because for any woman who's listening who's had an abortion, or any woman who's facing up to the challenge of making a choice on abortion, you're using the putting someone to death argument. Yeah. And it does sound, in many ways, I've had conversations before on this programme with Jim Wells, who's a very well-known and outspoken DUP member, and the two of you might as well be sitting on each other's knee.
I'm sure that if I were to meet members of the DUP, I'm sure I'd get on a personal level very well with them. I try to be affable to everybody. And I know people who've known members of the DUP. I've known people who even knew the founder of the DUP, the late Ian Paisley, who were Catholics and who got on very well with him. Because, you know, we're Christians. We're trying to build a civilization of love here. And that means not demonizing people who are different from ourselves.
I'm just wondering, are you closer maybe to the Free Presbyterian Church than you are to the general members of the Democratic Unionist Party?
I very much doubt that. I mean, I would imagine if theologically I am very, very far from the Free Presbyterian Church. In fact, I know I am. But what I would say is that I do believe in religious freedom. I support fully the members of the Free Presbyterian Church to worship God in their own way, their freedom of association, their freedom of speech, and their religious freedom. And indeed, I hope other people would pay me the same compliment and respect the religious freedom of Catholics.
But you're not prepared to be understanding towards women who would like to be in a position where they can choose about their own body and what's best for them. You impose Catholic theology, Catholic teaching upon those women, and you also impose Catholic teaching and Catholic theology upon two women who may wish to make love to each other, or two men who may wish to make love to each other. It doesn't sound like as if you're aware of the real world, Father.
Oh, now listen, I've known lots of people who've had abortions. I know lots of people who are living in a variety of types of relationship. I'm open to dialogue with all of them. Dialogue is what the Catholic Church believes in. We are not people who impose anything on anybody. We bring our Catholic teaching to the marketplace, and we present it to other people in terms that we hope are reasonable to other people. We're not trying to set up a theocracy here. One of the things about the Catholic Church is it is not theocratic. You see, Catholic priests are not like the mullahs in Iran. We believe in democracy and we believe in human rights.
But you don't sound very understanding of, say, a 17-year-old who may be gay, who's about to express love to another person who he is or she has fallen in love with. They want to begin a relationship. They want to be together. They want to express love like heterosexual people do. You're calling on them to be celibate.
I'm calling upon them to, well, first of all, you don't know how compassionate or not I am. People come and talk to me, and I talk to them, and many of those conversations are in what we call the internal forum. In other words, I don't talk about them afterwards. And one of the things I would do for everybody is try and get them to understand what their vocation in life is. And many of us, we've all got a vocation in life. We're all called by God to love and to happiness. And the path we all take can be different in many ways, but there is a path for each one of us, and we need to discover it.
Yeah, but that sounds a wee bit flowery. I don't mean to be patronising, but it does sound a bit flowery.
Yeah.
Let's have a reality here. There's a gay guy, he's a Catholic, he wants to express his love to another gay guy, and he's come to you for advice. You're obviously not going to suggest to him at any point that he can have sexual intercourse with the other man. So how do you square the circle? How do people live their lives by being Catholics and still wanting to have a gay relationship like so many people do?
Well, I think you say to the person, what is God calling you to do? What do you feel called to do? What is God saying to you now in the situation you find yourself? I deal with people like that a lot. And they will eventually, because human beings, we've got 70 years on this planet, and in those 70 years, hopefully we discover what it is God is calling us to do.
So if they make love to each other, are they committing a sin?
Yes. And indeed, it would be a good idea for them afterwards to go to confession. But of course, don't forget, sin is something of which our DUP brethren would know this. Sin is something of which we are convicted. That's the phrase the Protestants use. In other words, it's no use me telling you or anybody else what is a sin. Sin is something we feel in our hearts. We feel when we have failed God. And all of us are sinners. All of us have failed God. That's why we Catholics are always saying, mea culpa, mea culpa, mea maxima culpa. Because we're all failures when we look at the love of God. And this is not to single out people who are homosexual in a certain way. We're all failures in the sight of God.
Yes,
and we're
but
all trying to do better.
But those who are heterosexual aren't sinning.
Hold on.
Aren't sinning. Let me finish this. Aren't sinning, in your opinion, if they are married and they have a sexual intercourse for the procreation of children. I know it's very narrow. It's very narrow. But at least a heterosexual Catholic can go down that line and stay within the realms of the Church. It's very narrow. Most Catholics would ignore the teaching generally. Yeah. But what you're saying is the young person who is gay is a sinner the moment they have the sexual intercourse. They are then sinning. So there will be young people who are growing up, there'll be older people as well listening to this programme, who feel under pressure. They feel traumatised by the idea of being gay when they shouldn't have to go through that. They shouldn't be pressurised by either the DUP or the Free Presbyterian Church or the Catholic Church. They should be allowed to express their love, to be themselves, to be in a relationship, to do whatever makes them feel good. They should be able to do that, and they shouldn't be almost suicidal with worry, as some of them are and some of them have been and some of them have lost their lives as a result of it because of the pressure they're put under by the likes of Father Alexander or Jim Wales or members of the Free Presbyterian Church.
Hang on a sec. I'm not putting anybody under pressure. I'm saying God loves you. That's what I'm saying to everybody, whoever they come to me, gay, straight, whatever their state in life. God is love. You need to discover in your life the love of God. The proclamation of the love of God is not putting anybody under pressure. Don't forget, God loves us all Catholics, DUP members, everybody, and God's love leaves us free. God is not some sort of pressurizing person who forces us to love him back. He leaves us free. When you're loved by God, it's pure advantage for you, and there's no catch in that love.
Do you believe that people are born gay or grow gay, or do you believe that people have a choice to be gay?
This used to be a debate, didn't it, whether it was nurture versus nature. I don't think the debate makes any difference to the moral question. I would, and my personal opinion is that it's almost the scientific, this is a scientific question, really you should be asking scientists this, but from what I've read of the science, it seems overwhelming nowadays that it's genetic. The predisposition to homosexuality is genetic. In other words, it's absolutely not a choice.
So if you're gay, you can't have sex. That's what you're saying.
That is one way of putting it, certainly. What I would say, I would prefer a more positive formulation. If you're gay, look at your situation and turn it to your advantage. Turn it to a situation in which you can express love for other people in a variety of ways.
Now, you'll understand that people who aren't as into the Catholic Church or into Christianity or into really tight rules and regulations when it comes to sex will be reminded of how strict the Catholic Church is from this conversation. They'll also be reminded of how strict the DUP seem to be on those two issues.
Mm-hmm.
And when you throw it all up and see what's going to be caught, you have a situation whereby, you know, there's an understanding of the caricature of the vitriol that's been directed towards the DUP by the English people who think they are backwoods members of society.
Yeah, I think actually, I'm glad we've got back onto the DUP because I think there's an important case to be made here. First of all, a lot of British people have only just, British people in England have woken up just, you know, recently and discovered that there is such a thing as the DUP. They seem to have forgotten about the DUP. And so they're rather shocked and horrified that there are people who don't hold the same views as they do. And this is a bit surprising because Britain is a liberal democracy, and in a liberal democracy, you should expect to encounter people who don't mirror your own views. So that's the first thing. Secondly, the idea that the DUP are somehow or another people who have just sort of from the backwoods or from, you know, I don't know what the phrase you use in Northern Ireland for them, what we would call a bunch of yokels in England, in the west of England. This idea, I think, is a little bit tinged with racism. I mean, the DUP have the same right as anybody else to bring their ideas to the table in the context of British democracy. They are just as respectable or just worthy of respect as people, let's say, in Somerset or people in Northumberland or people in Inverness or people in Merionethshire in Wales. The idea that Northern Ireland is completely different from the rest of the world, I think, is a little bit harsh. People in Northern Ireland are part of our political polity, and therefore, you know, they're welcome to the table, same as anybody else.
Okay, Father, we have to keep in mind they are the most popular party in Northern Ireland.
Yeah, and many of their voters are listening to us. So, from a Catholic priest, hello, you voters of the DUP, all good things.
All
Christian greetings.
Christian greetings across the airways. Father Alexander, thanks for speaking to us. Thank you.
My pleasure. All the best then.
Thank
Bye.
You.
You doing all right?
I'm very well, Paul, very well.
I was going to make a comment about that Father Alexander there. I mean, about some of the things that he's been saying about the religion of the Catholic faith. I take great I wouldn't like to say the words over the air, Frank.
Yeah, well, choose polite words, choose ordinary conversational words, just put it into a sentence for me.
I'll try my best, but I take great exception to him to insult my intelligence and my religion.
Well, are you a Catholic?
I'm a Catholic fan, yes. I was born there in the Falls Road.
Yes, well, how has he insulted your religion if that's what Catholic teaching is?
Well, I mean, not so much insulted me, insulted the nation of the Irish, because the Irish people are very religious, and they're very sincere people. And I know lots of good people that are Presbyterians and different denominations. I do like to listen to people like that. What do you call him? Alexander.
Yes, Father Alexandra Lucy Smith. Well, just to put him in context here, he's a doctor of moral theology. He's a consulting editor of the Catholic Herald. He's not some maverick. He is centre ground here. He's someone centrally in focus when it comes to Catholic teaching. And he's saying what Catholics, those who follow the Catholic teaching, he is saying exactly what the rule book states. So, you know, he was very polite in his delivery. He was very welcoming of all faiths. He in what way did he insult you?
Well, first of all, Frank, I was born and reared on the Falls Road. And where I was born, you know, people don't speak like that.
But they don't speak like they don't. Here's the three main things that he said. He said
he's a modern sort of a priest, right? He's got to be about the same age as me. He once spoke to the Clonard Novena tomorrow, and see a couple of dentists and ministers up there, proper people who maybe held that man.
Yes, you know? but Paul, and you know, I think there'll be universal respect for the Clonard Novena, which is starting. However, the Clonard Novena is based on Catholic teaching as well. And within the Catholic Church, Father Alexandra Lucy Smith is right. He's right in terms of the teaching. I'm not saying whether he's right or wrong in terms of his opinion. Father Alexandra Lucy Smith has told us that sexual intercourse between two gay people is a sin. Sexual intercourse between two gay people is never acceptable. Equality in marriage is not acceptable within the Catholic Church. Under no circumstances is abortion acceptable within the Catholic Church, whether it be for fetal abnormality or as a woman being a victim of a sex crime. It is never acceptable. Now, whether you go to Clonard or whether you go to Father Alexandra Lucy Smith's church in England, in Surrey, where he's based, it's the same Catholic Church. Now, Clonard may be an all-embracing, uplifting and incredibly beneficial experience for those who go, but it's still based on the central planks of the Catholic Church, and that's the teaching. If you put any of the priests at Clonard to the pin of their collar about abortion or about gay marriage, they cannot go into the pulpit and say, in certain circumstances, abortion is acceptable. They cannot go in and say, in certain circumstances, or rather, they cannot go in and say, the expressing of love between two gay men with sexual intercourse is acceptable. It's against their teaching, whether you're standing in Clonard or whether you're standing in leafy suburbia of Surrey.
Yeah. Well, all I'm saying, Frank, is I was listening to that person a while ago, and all I'm saying is that his attitude to what I believe in and what people like me believe in, you don't have to be a religious person to be a Catholic. You know, you're stamped with it as a child. You've no other choice, if you want to say. So you can just gather up a whole lot of things in your life. You know, hard to see that in the world. Hard wasn't a homosexual.
Yes, we don't know who was gay, who may have been gay in the past, because we don't have the information. But we're talking about 2017. And in 2017, I had this conversation once with Jim Wells as well. He said, you can't be a Catholic unless you follow the rules fully of the Catholic Church. There are many people within the Catholic Church who say exactly the same thing. Father Alexandra Lucy Smith has said that to me this morning. So he is hand in hand with the only DUP member that I've had any meaningful conversation about abortion or gay rights to is Jim Wells, and that's why I'm using the example. And most of you have heard the conversations on the radio. So they are hand in hand when it comes to their beliefs and their interpretation of theology. Now, I agree with you. I know many people who are Catholics who believe that in terms of fetal abnormality, abortion should be allowed. In terms of sex crime, abortion should be allowed. There are Catholics who would argue that a woman should have a choice full stop, and they still want to be Catholics. I know many Catholic people who are fully supportive of gay couples and would attend a gay wedding and would buy gifts for a gay couple who are going off to have their honeymoon. I know many Catholic people who would have sex outside marriage, Catholic people who would have sex that would not involve a hope of procreation whatsoever. But according to the rules of the Catholic Church, all of those people are sinning. Those are all sins. Yet in all, thousands over the course of the next week or 10 days will go to Clonard and completely benefit from the uplifting experience that Clonard is, but don't have the confidence to take on the Catholic Church on those issues.
Well, Frank, I have been going to Clonard and Novena a long time. And I've got an attitude different from the Catholic religion as I've been taught, and I don't need any sort of an education to tell me what you're telling me about how to look after myself as regarding the Catholic Church. If I was to stand up the Catholic Church, I would do it very quickly, believe you me. But there wouldn't be many people want to back me.
Did you say you would stand up for or stand up to?
Oh, I would stand up to them, yeah. I would stand, and I have done so many times I've done that. And I've been looked upon as if it was some sort of an empathy, you know. What are you talking about? What would you know? I mean, I'm as smart as any priest going about this town, or any minister or that, so I don't need anybody to be ramrodding something down my throat about something that I believe in. It's not necessarily to say I'm a God-fearing person about the Roman Catholic Church. We all live in the one island, the world. Never mind Ireland or anywhere else. We live in the world.
Right, so Paul, you'll go to Clonard Novena and you will thoroughly enjoy the experience. Let me ask you two simple questions. Do you believe in marriage equality?
Yes, I do.
Do you believe that in certain circumstances a woman should have a choice to have an abortion?
Yes, I do.
Now, you are breaking two of the central rules of the Catholic Church.
It's up to an individual, Frank. If they want to do it, they're going to do it. Why should you be forcing something on somebody if they want to do it? It's been done in Ireland for years and years and years. This present day, people have to go from Ireland over to England to have abortions. I mean, why should they not have them here if they want to do that?
Paul, you make a very good pitch, and thank you very much indeed. The opinions of those listening to the programme, much more important than mine, of course, and you know the number, 90333105. Thomas often has a point to make on the programme. A number of Thomases, here's one of them. Thomas, good morning.
Hello, good morning, Frank. How you doing?
I'm very well, Thomas.
I'm Thomas the Scavalder, not a number of Thomases.
Well, there are a number of Thomases who contact this programme.
I know. Frank, all I want to say to you is...
Some of them doubting, I would imagine. But go ahead.
I know, but I would just like to stress this one point, right? I listen to your show every day, right? I'm fond of your show, right? You're not a bad man, you know? But see, when I hear people coming on about... excuse the terminology, like, but, you know, talking nonsense, you know what I'm saying? They just don't seem to understand. Live and let live. Let people live and just get on with it. It doesn't matter if someone's homosexual or someone's black or blue or white or whatever. You know, why can't people just get on with their own lives and just spread joyness and happiness?
Well, that's one way of looking at it, yeah. If we could just spread that word, joyness is a great word, isn't it? Whether it exists or not, it should exist. And happiness, says Thomas. The reason they can't do that, the reason Father Alexandra Lucy Smith, who would be more than happy to spread joy and happiness, can't do it without passing comment, is he's basing his beliefs on the Catholic teaching. And he is a doctor of moral theology, so he knows exactly what he's talking about. He's so much better briefed on anything to do with being a Catholic than I would be, or may I suggest that most of you would be. He is a doctor of moral theology. He's a consulting editor for the Catholic Herald. So what he is saying is correct in terms of Catholic teaching. But do Catholics accept it? That's the big question. That's the question. And certainly Thomas doesn't accept it there. Paul doesn't accept it. A lot of you on the texts and the emails here, one after the other coming through, don't accept it. Yet and all, you will go, as Paul said, to Clonard this week, which is such a wonderful experience. Have you ever been to it? It's not just Catholics that go to it, of course, but the vast majority of people are Catholic. And secondly, it is in a Catholic church. However, I'd love to know how many people there at Clonard agree with Father Alexandra Lucy Smith, who is a doctor of moral theology, an expert on the Catholic faith, and who believes that we should be much closer to the teaching of the DUP.